Welcome in. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor. And in this discussion, I'm joined by my friend Dana Lyons from the Chicagoland area. He's with J. Lyons Fund Management, the registered investment advisors. And unlike most financial professionals you'll meet these days, folks, he's an independent thinker, sometimes thinks outside the box, smart guy technically. And so that's one of the reasons we have him coming up next week is once again, one of our panelists at the Chicago Resource Expo. First of all, Dana, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to the show.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't already know, and you're going to hear a lot about this in the next several days, but next weekend, as at least next weekend, as he and I are discussing this today, November 9th and 10th, we're going to be meeting at the Schaumburg Marriott in Schaumburg, Illinois, not too far outside the city of Chicago, and even closer to O'Hare Airport. So we're going to be there starting at noon next Friday. We've got a number of companies, really interesting, unique story stocks, as I call them, that are going to be coming, and really a more diverse lineup than has ever happened during the now 41 years of the Chicago Resource Expo. We've got real estate, mining, medical technology, optical technology, lithium, uranium, you name it. Medical marijuana, of course, a hot subject these days, one of my favorite companies in that space. So we've got a lot of companies coming. But then Friday evening, after we feed everybody, starting at 7 o'clock, is going to be our always famous and always popular panel discussion. And Dana, of course, is one of the panelists that we'll talk about a lot of macro subjects as well. So first of all, if any of you want to register and you've not done so already, you don't have a lot of time left, so please do it. Go to ChicagoResourceExpo.com. Now, Dana, last year when you and myself and Mike Shedlock and Dr. Lee Warren, all of whom will be on a panel this year also, and joined notably by former Ambassador Thomas Graham, who is an expert on energy and geopolitics, so he'll make a nice addition. Last year we talked about the outlook for interest rates in the markets, and you were pretty much dead on, with a lot of people still being kind of deflationists and thinking that, you know, any minute now this rally in the market is going to run out of gas and we're going to crash again. We're going to have interest rates go down into the toilet. You were insisting that we may be at the beginning of a generational move higher in interest rates. And so far, we've not broken that long-term downtrend in long-term interest rates going all the way back to the early 80s, but we're getting close. So tell us what your, update us on your thinking now as to how much, we're, as you and I are recording this, we're at 341 on the 30-year bond. We're at 315 or 16 today on this age's bellwether, I guess, 10-year note. Where do you see it in the immediate future for us?
Sure. So I as you alluded to, in the grand scheme of things, we think that 2016 low in interest rates was a generational or a multi-decade low, and we are headed up for probably years or decades to come. And the reason we say there's a very consistent long-term cycle in interest rates going back hundreds of years. It's one of the more consistent cycles that we've followed, approximately 54 to 60 year cycle. And it was been long overdue to bottom, since obviously topping out in the early 80s. And I think certainly some of the central bank intervention may have forestalled that bottoming out until that bottom in mid 2016, which we think was the low for years or decades to come. So we think in the long term we'll be heading up higher, as you and I have discussed. It won't be a straight shot. 30 some odd years of a downtrend in yields provides a lot of resistance to get through. So there'll be decent rallies along the way in bonds and resistance points hit in interest rates. The most probably The challenging and most challenging of which will be those long-term downtrends from either the mid eight, the early 80s, or from that peak in 1987. So those lines will, are fast approaching anywhere from about 330 up to roughly 360-ish on the 10-year. So those will mark some challenging resistance to get through, and probably, you know, spark a decent, perhaps a decent rally in the bond market at various times. So it won't be a straight shot higher. You'll get some chop back and forth. But in the longer term, I think we're headed much, much higher and for a long time.
Okay, now most people would identify the reason for that as being, and I've discussed this as well, I look at things fundamentally and you look at things more technically, but you know, the Federal Reserve under Jerome Powell is trying to get us back to a two-way market again. They're trying to get us back to some price discovery. The Fed is taking its thumb off the scales a little bit, and of course that and their direct net selling now of long-term government securities is what is one of the contributors, at least, to yields moving higher. And a lot of other people are talking about the much greater funding needs, given that we have a president now who, by his own admission, loves debt. He's the latest president that thinks we can borrow our way to prosperity. That is really dramatically increasing the funding needs for the government, and all else being equal, it's going to keep upward pressure on prices. Do you see, and again, and I agree with you that technically and fundamentally both, I think we're going to have trouble at least initially getting above that long-term downtrend line, which isn't too far from where yields are up to now. Do you see anything major that might stop that? Any reason why the Fed at some point might have to reverse course? Or even if they do, the cat's already out of the bag and yields are going to still move higher. What do you think about that?
Well, I you are much more fundamentally and policy in tune than we are. We try not to, as much as we can, ascribe any reasons to why markets move, and just analyze which way they are moving and are likely to move. So as to why or what might cause something to occur or a pause or a roadblock in that rise in interest rates, I'm not sure what that is. The one thing that you did allude to, which is gives us comfort, is that in the long end of the bond, I mean, markets do determine these prices. Markets do determine these rates, unlike the Fed funds rate. So I think market forces, while they were, you know, held down perhaps for a number of years there, kind of like holding that balloon underwater, eventually it's going to come up to the top, and market forces are going to take over. And I'm a believer that market forces will stay in control. It's hard to kind of override that with any in any sustainable way, even through a president or Federal Reserve. It's hard to overcome those market forces. So I think they will eventually take hold and move rates higher over the long term. But certainly policy moves in the short term, and when I say short term, I mean it was almost the better part of a decade that central banks kind of influenced the movement of rates after the financial crisis. So things can temporarily be move on a tangent, but I think overall market forces will take control, and those forces will move rates higher over the long term.
Yeah, good point. Let's shift for a second to the broad stock market. You know, we've had what some people think may be a double top this year, the second one at the end of September exceeding the earlier one by a little bit. But at the same time, when we have a higher cost structure for money, higher interest rates, that all else being equal is going to depress price earnings ratios, then it makes sense that we are going to go from more of an environment where the stock market goes up. You know, people that put money in the passive mutual funds or ETFs or the FANG stocks, you know, make money. That seems to be over, doesn't it, Dana? And we're going back here again, like with bonds, to where the market determines things more and it's going to be based more on fundamentals?
I think that's right, and I think that was going to happen anyways. As I mentioned, I don't think anything. There are certain forces in this world, like the economy, the interest rates, and stock market, and major financial markets like that can't really be overcome inorganically, I think, on a sustainable basis, and they're going to go where they're going to go eventually. So, despite the detour, perhaps, and with some of the central bank action that we've seen over the last decade, I think the market forces are going to take over and lead us where those are going to go, just like the interest rates. And I think one is I will say is rough as 2008 and 2009 were. I don't think that wrung out all the excesses out of the system that built up during the big bull market that blew off in 2000. So, whereas our cycle work and our technical analysis would suggest that we have more downside, another bear market to come before we can sustainably move higher again, I think it added to that is the fact that maybe the Federal Reserve didn't allow those excesses to be adequately wrung out of the system after the financial crisis. So, on top of the regular sort of excesses that need to be wrung out, you have additional excesses that should not have been entered the system at this point. So I think there's going to be another pretty devastating bear market to come before, we're off and away in the stock market on a sustainable basis. As good as the last decade's run has been, I don't think that's a sustainable move. So I think you're going to see a devastating bear market again, on the order of what we saw in 2002, 2008, that type of thing before we're in a position where we can sustain a new secular bull market in stocks.
Interesting. Again, folks, I'm with Dana Lyons, a registered investment advisor with J. Lyons Fund Management. He will be on our panel at the Chicago Resource Expo Friday, November the 9th. If you want to register and haven't already, go to chicagoresourceexpo.com. And wrapping up quick, Dana, because we're about out of time, this bear market that you see coming, is it something you think in percentage terms might equal 2008, even if it's drawn out more in time? Are we going to more slug our way there than crash? Do you see anything that might tilt you one way or the other as far as how this next bear market might develop?
That's a good question. I'm not sure, because you bring up a good point. A lot of times, these excesses can be taken out of the system just through a long period of going nowhere. You see, for example, the secular bear market from the mid-60s to the early 80s, basically went sideways. But during that time, valuations came way down. The amount of money investors had in the stock market kept coming down to a low point in 1982, even though basically the stock market was at the same level it was 16 years prior. So it can be a long flat period, or it can be, a precipitous decline like we saw in 2008, or some combination of that. So I think there will be even in those 70s, you saw, even though we ended up basically where we were after 16 years, you had a number of 50% drawdowns during that time, and similar to what we saw in 2008. So you could see a combination of the two. You could see a devastating decline. You could see a long period where we go nowhere, or what might be the most devastating is a slow slog down, like you mentioned, where folks have been conditioned in recent years to buy every dip that comes along. If they just buy every dip and we continue to head lower, it's going to be death by a thousand cuts. So either way, there are a lot of excesses that have to be wrung out of the system still, prior to the launch of a new durable secular bull market. So whatever way it occurs, it's not going to be an enjoyable ride. But like interest rates, there will be bounces along the way. There'll be chops, ups and downs, opportunities along the way. But overall, it's going to be a very challenging environment for investors.
Well, that's for sure. And what I've been telling people too, Dana, is that it, to some extent, at least, it's going to be a constructive environment, because at least for the time being, there's still a lot of liquidity. There's still a lot of cash out there. And it's not all a bad thing, even if we have this sideways to downward bias, that investors are going to be required to actually act like an investors once again. I remember that once upon a time when I first got in this business way back in 1979. And it's going to be interesting. But folks, Dana and myself and our other panelists are going to have a lot more to say about this. We're going to have a long panel discussion on Friday night. Your questions will be welcome as well. So again, sign up at ChicagoResourceExpo.com. And Dana, I'll look forward to seeing you there again. And we're going to flesh out these things and a whole lot more. Thanks for joining me.
Sounds good, Chris. Thanks for having me on.